Hey everybody, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Today, I've got Anthony DeMarco with me to discuss just the craziness that is our lives right now. Obviously with this virus that if you haven't heard of, I honestly don't know what you've been doing the past week, but it has certainly turned all of our worlds upside down. But today we're here to, hopefully, as WWE says, let me just make sure I'm on the corporate bandwagon using all the buzzwords, we're here to entertain you. And hopefully we're going to put a smile on your face, insert puke bucket, and a crap load of sarcasm if you can't feel it in my voice. But we really are here to hopefully take your mind off of everything that's going on. We do address the coronavirus and all that stuff up front. So I know that's on everybody's mind and everybody is really just thinking about it and it's impacting your life and everyone's lives to some degree. So we're going to talk about that. Of course, we talk about, could WrestleMania happen? Could it actually happen April 5th? Or will it be delayed? Or will it be canceled? And how does WWE deal with, if it's delayed, the time between now and WrestleMania? Do they add 4 more weeks of television? We come up with a solution there. So another awesome conversation. It's really just a conversation that is for you guys and for me, therapeutically, to talk about something other than this damn virus going around that people think is going to be like I Am Legend with Will Smith. This is, and it is serious, but of course, we want to hear about something else beyond the virus. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But first, a word from the sponsor, and then we're going to get right into the show. So if you guys have a podcast, obviously like I do, or if you're thinking about starting one, you're not sure where to start or what kind of tips and help you may need, you guys should really head over to Fiverr and check out DB Sound. This is a guy that has been doing this for years, and he will edit your audio, make sure that it sounds good. If you have intros or outros, he'll stick those in there as well. And if you're concerned about what others have to say, don't be concerned. His rating is 5 out of 5 stars, and that's with over 1,200 reviews. So you guys should have no worries in terms of if he's going to give you a good quality product, because he will. I've seen it. And if you are thinking about getting into the audio space and podcasting, check him out. He'll also edit any YouTube videos that you may have in audio. And obviously, if you are outputting your sound in multiple formats and you want to be on Apple Podcasts and everything else, you need to have great sound. The sound quality is everything in podcasting. It's the only way you communicate with your audience, and DB Sound is going to be the way to go. He is one of the most respected sellers on Fiverr, and I can tell you that with confidence. One of the highest rated. So check out DB Sound. I'll put on a link on my Twitter feed as well for those that may have trouble finding him. So check out my Twitter feed. And again, the seller's name is DB Sound, and he is just absolutely amazing at what he does in editing and taking out the ums and ahs and pauses and all that kind of stuff that you may not want to do as a podcaster, whether you're a veteran or you're just starting out. He understands the necessity of the quality of audio that you put out there as a podcaster. So check him out. It's DB Sound, and I'll put a link on my Twitter feed. So in all of our daily lives, we've all faced stress, right? We've all faced burnout, but we want to get goals accomplished. We have a vision. We have something that we want to do, but we often blame it on a lack of sleep. We've all heard, if you guys know the stories about Vince, he doesn't sleep. He often has told Jim Ross that sleep is the enemy, JR. And yet Vince McMahon has become one of the most successful men in the history of entertainment. And how does Vince do it with such little sleep? Well, guys, I'm about to open up this secret for you, unlock it, and give you guys an insight into it, because there's a book out there that explains the myth that you have to get a certain amount of sleep to be successful. This book talks about the difference of quality sleep versus quantity of sleep and how you can achieve your goals with a minimal amount of sleep. So what is this book? It's called Accomplished. It's by Carice LaGuerre. You can find it on Amazon. Just search for Accomplished and you will see it pop up. It already has all 5-star ratings on its reviews. So check out Accomplished by Carice LaGuerre. The last name, if you want it spelled, is LAGUERRE. So guys, don't wait another minute. Find out how to maximize your time and not just focus on how much sleep you're getting, but the type of sleep you're getting, and unlock the secrets to what Vince McMahon and others are doing and how they have so much time and are so successful on such minimal amount of sleep. So again, guys, check out Accomplished on Amazon today.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? Because Stone Cold said so.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show as we roll into your favorite topic. Well, it's a topic that at least isn't talking about the virus, and that is professional wrestling. Or as y'all may call it, sports entertainment. Or for those that aren't fans, that fake stuff. Whatever the hell this is that you love, I'm glad you're here, because this is a show that is your, hopefully, remedy and escape from all of the reality going on around you. And I'm not to make light of what's happening. This is a situation that many of us have not dealt with in our lifetime. It's a situation that many of us hopefully will never have to deal with again in our lifetime. And you could say it's media hype. I mentioned this in my quick hits last night. This is, I think, partially media hype. But as the days and hours go by, it seems as if it's more of reality, particularly not in the United States, but in Italy, right? Italy and some of the other European nations are having a much more difficult time. Their healthcare system's being overrun. Death rates are higher than the United States. Cases are 100 times higher than here in the United States, which has about 3,300 cases as we speak, about almost 70 deaths. Italy has, thousands. So that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm going to get right into wrestling, because there's no need to really dwell on all the stuff that we have already seen in the news cycle. And everything you've ever seen on social media over the last week is either a meme about the virus, people not taking it seriously, people just trying to bide the time, people that are just posting about it to get a reaction or to post about it and join the crowd. But you can't go anywhere without having this be a part of your life. I mean, you can't go to work and have people not talk to you about it. You can't, again, escape on your phone half the time. I mean, again, go to your Facebook feed, and I will guarantee you 95% of what you see is either a meme about coronavirus or people talking about it. Hell, I'm talking about it right now. And so it's just, when something this large comes into your life, whether it's perceived to be this large or it's actually this large, bands people together. It's kind of like a post 9/11. Obviously, a much different set of circumstances, but it feels a little bit like that. I haven't felt this way since 9/11. Those of you that lived through it. So anyway, that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk about pro wrestling, because as it stands currently, WrestleMania is still on. WrestleMania is still on in Tampa as we speak. I have a feeling, a very strong feeling, that's going to change this week. Because I don't think the virus is going to be cured, and everyone's going to magically wake up and feel great, and the virus never happened. So I think that WWE may have their hand forced and have WrestleMania delayed. How long? That's another question. Anthony and I get into that. So again, guys, this is the WWE Podcast. This is a show that is produced for you 7 days a week, and whether or not there is an R shows, I'm still going to be here. We are still going to be here. Because even if WWE decides to cancel their shows, Raw, SmackDown, we are still going to be here, because I will find content to deliver to you. Whether it's looking back and doing a bunch of wrestling nostalgia, or maybe looking ahead into what WrestleMania could bring. Because even if WrestleMania is delayed, it's not canceled. Big difference. WrestleMania is going to probably be delayed. That's my guess. As it should be. And if that's the case, we will continue to talk about WrestleMania 36 and continue to build the storylines and discuss what is being told by WWE programming. I mean, we're going to be here for you that for you for that. So this is not a show that's going to be canceled. Okay, we're not postponing our shows. This show goes on, and it will go on as scheduled. So we will continue to deliver content, as I said, tomorrow night, Monday Night Raw. I believe it's going to be held in the Performance Center. I don't think they're going to be in Pittsburgh, but I could be wrong. I haven't seen a statement put out by WWE yet, but I just can't imagine Stone Cold coming out, the glass shattering, and the arena is empty, and there's just no reaction. It's just, it's not a sight I want to see. So maybe they go that road, maybe they don't. I obviously will probably know very, very soon as to what the plan is. Maybe it is Performance Center. But Anthony and I talk about SmackDown that was in an empty arena and what we liked about it. We also discuss some things we may not have liked. We go into depth about the whole Goldberg Reign story and the interview, the sit-down interview with Michael Cole. We just really dive into. We didn't talk about a whole lot of topics, but it was diving deep into specific topics and top topics like AJ Styles, Undertaker. And Goldberg and Reigns, right? We talked about Paige's impending possible return to the ring. So really, we covered ground, but it wasn't a lot of ground. We just dug deep. So how about that for a visual? So again, thank you guys for joining me. You can hit me up on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. And you can also head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com if you want to catch this show and any blogs that you'd like to see. Are there as well. And actually, I before we get into the conversation, I do have a question. And this came through the Facebook page. And this is from Jason Hall. And he said, so with doing your question segment on your show and now seeing the likes of groups forming again, I had a thought after listening to the NXT podcast, how likely is it that the Raul Mendoza abduction being done by men in luchador masks, that it may have been Andrade and Angel Garza, being their ethnicity and the fact that Andrade has come out in a mask in his entrance every so often and build a new stable like he has been brought up with Zelina at the helm. Just a thought. Would love to know what you think. So, Jason, thanks so much for asking. And thanks for following us and being a listener. I absolutely think that's possible. I think WWE has a tendency to keep ethnicity groups together. It's been a, for better or worse, certainly it has been a trend in WWE since as long as I can possibly remember. I mean, for the worse, Crime Time, Mexicools, remember that? I mean, there's been some examples of not so great ethnicities sticking together simply for the superficial fact of their common ethnicity. But in this case, you have guys here that are super talented. You have guys that are not just about being bonded together for their ethnicity so much, although on the surface that seems the way, but also their passion, the way that they perform in the ring. They have amazing chemistry off the bat. This could be indeed a new stable, and I'm all for it. I'm all for stables that make sense. And in this case, you could have all involved be a stable, and I would love to see it. I would love to see it. I think that they would have a great chemistry off the bat. Having Raul in NXT is you could say that's problematic, but it's not as problematic and as big of a hurdle to hop over as it would have been in the past. I mean, considering that NXT is trying to be viewed and has successfully, to a large degree, been viewed as a legitimate third brand and not just kind of that extra redheaded stepchild brand. So I think it's possible. I would like to see it. I'm all for stables. I'm all for stables, right? I love what Seth Rollins is doing with his group, and this could be certainly successful in its own right. All right, well, with all that being said, guys, let's get into the conversation with Anthony. So sit back, relax, keep yourself quarantined, keep yourself hydrated, and enjoy this conversation with Anthony. As I said, I'll be back on Tuesday with your review on Monday Night Raw. Wednesday is Nostalgia. Thursday and Friday are NXT and AEW respectively, if shows continue or go on there. And then back with your week in review this coming weekend with Mary Grader. So really looking forward to this week. Should be just a crazy week, whether it's professional wrestling or otherwise, as our lives have transformed as we know it until further notice. So guys, enjoy the playground that is pro wrestling and our talk about it. And I will talk to you next time. Alrighty, everybody, welcome to a very strange, very odd, and unprecedented version of the WWE podcast, and really an unprecedented version of the world we look at. The world, how we view it, has changed in the blink of an eye, and not with a terrorist attack, but with a virus that we all know is spreading around, and many of us have freaked out. Many of us have run to the grocery store, purchased things that we probably won't need out of precaution or panic, or everyone else is doing it, so I feel like I need to. But hey, this is really bizarre. And Anthony, you know, we talked quickly, but how are you feeling right now? Is this kind of an eerie feeling right now? How's everything up in Montreal?
It's just uncharted waters. Like you said, you've never really seen anything like this. Like all sports have come to a halt, which has always been a distraction in times of panic and in times of, I don't know if emergency is the right word, but sports were always there to kind of take you away from real life. And now they're gone too. And now all like other distractions and potential hobbies have been taken away. Like in Montreal, they just closed all the gyms and all the restaurants and all the bars. All non-essential facilities are being closed. So you're kind of just stuck between work and home. And, you know, it's just a very strange time to be alive right now.
It really is. And it kind of feels like 9/11 for us a little bit, except with 9/11, you had a defined, I wouldn't say defined end date, but the event happened and you knew, okay, it's just time for cleanup. With this, we have no idea how long it's going to last, how bad it's going to get. If you listen to some of the projections, I mean, some of them are just out of this world. I'm not saying it's impossible, but there are some projections from the World Health Organization that, you know, up to 100 million people could be infected, 100,000 people die. I don't think we're headed there. I would think it's probably going to get a little bit worse and flatten line and then hopefully go into the positive direction. But you hit on a good point that the fact that all of these distractions are being affected kind of feeds on itself, that you don't have the distractions to get away from the virus and the news. So you just go to the news and it just is a vicious cycle because there's no distractions there. And it's just, you look in your Facebook feed, you look on Instagram, you look at Twitter, everything is about the coronavirus. Hell, we're talking about it right now. Everything is about it. And you know, those things that we love have been taken away. So there's nothing to take us away and let us play in the sandbox, so to speak, of the world of sports and fantasy sports and simulated sports like pro wrestling. So, this is just bizarre time, and there's no end date, which I think really bothers people. There's no, okay, if we get to March 20th, you know, it'll be over. There's no, and we hate not knowing, and I think that's also part of it.
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown, and you just said it. And, you know, to your point, we're just kind of left with this indefinite circumstance of all we have is work and home, and for some, work isn't even there. And it's just kind of left us in this weird, almost holding pattern of just twiddling our thumbs and waiting for it to get better. I think it's been somewhat blown out of proportion based on like how severe the virus actually is. But at the same time, again, we don't know what it is. And I guess it's all precautionary measures. But like you said, you can't really go anywhere without it being thrown in your face.
That's the thing, everywhere. So with all that being said, I mean, I don't want to make this show about it. I want to jump into what people want to hear about that's not about the coronavirus to the best of our ability, even though SmackDown this past week was directly impacted by the fact that the coronavirus was present, and which is why the large gatherings of X amount of people, I think 500 or whatever the government implemented here, is now prohibited. What did you think this past week of the SmackDown Live experience? That was, honestly, I think it was a mixed bag for me, but boy, that was a really strange thing, seeing an empty small arena in the Performance Center go live with wrestling. How did you feel about the whole thing?
Well, look, I'm not going to sit here and say it was awesome. Like, it was definitely somewhat hard to sit through at times. But to the same token, you got to give them credit. Like, everything else has been shut down indefinitely, and WWE is pretty much the last ones left standing, as you said before we came on the air right now. And, you know, you got to give it to them, the matches and just trying to play to a crowd that wasn't there. And I know we saw some footage of them stopping the match on the commercial break. I think all in all, it's just about as good as they could have done. You know, they had the sit down interview with Roman Reigns, which I guess that was a segment that didn't really wasn't directly impacted because of the audience not being there, because usually that would be a segment that's done backstage or whatnot. But I think, you know, like the whole Bray Wyatt and John Cena, you know, interaction, maybe that was a one that was affected by there not being a live audience. But you really got to give the performers credit, and you got to give guys like Michael Cole and Triple H credit. I found they did a really good job to fight through it. I'm not really sure why Corey Graves wasn't there and Triple H was on commentary. Maybe because they just thought that he has the charisma to carry it by himself, which he certainly did. But considering the circumstances, you just got to give them credit for putting on a half-decent show.
I do, too. And, you know, I think the unsung hero here is really Michael Cole, who, for the most part, you wouldn't have known that anything was different had nothing been explained to us that obviously something was different here in an empty arena. His voice, for the most part, he was acting as if he was in the live audience, and he was all in. So props to Michael Cole. Obviously, Triple H on commentary. Yes, he had some sophomoric moments, but kind of akin back to his, you know, DX days. And I like Michael Cole's point that he said, you know, I came in here 25 years ago with you and HBK giving me wedgies backstage. I remember that. And he said, you know, 25 years later, you know, we're still kind of doing the same thing. I found that kind of funny. And yeah, the performers, I give them credit. It's got to be weird, right? Because you feed off of that energy in the crowd. You feed off of those fans. And there were moments that were weird. It was awkward because you were, you know, I was trying not to listen to for the calls in the ring. Obviously, as they go through the match, you know, there are several times, multiple times during the match that you'll hear calls, or that they'll be giving calls to one another, and I just didn't want to hear that. And that to me was like, I don't want to hear what's next, because that totally takes me out. And I think Michael Cole and Triple H did a good job of just trying to continually speak so that those moments didn't happen. But yeah, the John Cena and Bray Wyatt, to most people, seemed to be the highlight of the show.
Yeah, well, it was pretty well done. Like, you know, John Cena, like him or hate him, you are always going to get a good promo of him, and that's for certain. And he could always, you know, he can really just sell it to anyone, and he always brings like some charisma with him, and he really kind of just drags whichever segment he's with along by himself. Then you throw in Bray Wyatt, who is a promo mastermind in his own right, and you just get gold, at least in my mind. And I like how they're playing on the backstory of how Bray Wyatt and him clashed at WrestleMania 30. I think the whole downfall of Bray Wyatt because of John Cena, I think that's a bit far-fetched, because if you think back, when that match happened, Bray Wyatt was less than a year into his WWE run. So to say that he was already falling 10 months later, I think that's a bit reaching for it. But I do get what they're trying to go for, because Bray Wyatt did really have a downward spiral. But at the same time, you know, he was main eventing WrestleMania 2 years later as WWE champion after that match. So aside from that little nitpicking, I really like where they're going with it. Now, that being said, I really think that the Universal Championship should be involved in that match, but we could kick that can a bit farther down the road in this show. So aside from a little bit nitpicking that I have problems with the storyline, I think that they did a really good job in piquing my interest.
This one is just, to me, and it was the highlight of the show. I know I'm kind of piling on what most people believe, but I think it was, because it didn't, even without the audience there, it was a segment that made you forget the least that an audience wasn't there. Because I think it's one that you could have done via even a sit-down interview. I mean, you could have even had this done at, you know, in a pre-taped segment. That I think it would have been effective as well. It didn't need to be done in front of a live audience. There was no physicality, which I don't want, and they don't need right now. It was just about building the story, telling why these two men are fighting, and we got more of the story. To your point, too, that Bray Wyatt's downfall, he was a year in, and I've heard the argument, though, that Bray Wyatt's downfall did start with John Cena. I mean, you could point to Rusev also and put him in that same category of John Cena losses just then being the trigger for the downfall in their career. And Bray Wyatt, I mean, when you, like you said, if you were to actually create a timeline for it, it probably is inaccurate. It just is not right that that was the peak of his career, and since then that he's been on a complete just free fall. I don't. That is just plain not true. But I'm okay with the narrative because it's easy to just kind of go along with, like, yeah, I remember that. What did he do after that? And everything else is just kind of a blur up until The Fiend. So you just kind of buy into it, and I'm fine with it. I have nothing to really complain about. I was glad that it was Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse version, coming out to talk and not The Fiend. I don't need The Fiend right now. I want Bray Wyatt, the man, speaking to John Cena. And as you said, John Cena reminds you every single time he picks up a mic just how freaking good he is on the mic. He is just light years ahead of anyone else on the roster. It's not even close. And even with an empty arena, this guy got it done. So props to John Cena, props to Bray Wyatt.
Well, these two, they gel really well together, and mainly because they're both geniuses on the mic. Like, this is a safe match to put together. And as soon as I heard about that this was the avenue they're going down after calling the audible with the original plans of The Fiend versus Roman Reigns, I liked it. Now, that being said, I hate Goldberg versus Roman Reigns, but if they had to switch it up a bit, I like this because I do think that Bray Wyatt versus John Cena will be a much better match and a much better storyline for all the reasons that you just point out than Roman Reigns versus Bray Wyatt. It's just they're really trying to do damage control here of kind of making us forget that The Fiend just got squashed by Goldberg and lost the Universal Championship. Like, you can tell that they're just trying to make us quickly forget about that. No reference to it. You know, The Fiend showed up a night after losing to Goldberg and he just went right up to John Cena and we're just, you know, he made no reference to the fact they dropped the belt. And I actually do think The Fiend is better off without the championship right now. And I think they kind of rushed to put it on to him back after Hell in a Cell and he was booked into the corner and all that. But it still is a bit troubling for me trying to get past the fact that he did get squashed by Goldberg. And we're still trying to take him with the same level of seriousness when we know that he got beat with a glorified suplex. But aside from that, I really do like this whole angle with John Cena heading into WrestleMania.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I don't have much to add to that. This is a program that, you know, as you said, we could talk about the Universal Championship being involved, but I've said it many times too. I'm with you that I don't think The Fiend ever needed the belt. I never felt like it was the right time when he got it. I didn't like, obviously, the Seth Rollins deal, which was, you know, what, how much of a damage that did to the character with Hell in a Cell. And but since that time, I mean, I'll be honest, until you mentioned about the Goldberg squash, it wasn't really something I thought about during the promo with John Cena. I think they gained something back with that promo because it's a story you care about infinitely more than the Goldberg and Fiend story that really was not a story. It was just Goldberg coming back saying, I never got my rematch, so I'm here, and taking the belt in order to really just be the one to anoint Roman Reigns as champion. And I guess transitioning somewhat smoothly into that segment with Reigns, before I talk about my thoughts on it, obviously we had the sit down with Michael Cole and Roman Reigns coming out, sitting in the middle of the ring and giving his explanations about why or really what this match means to him, about the spear versus spear, which we all feared was going to take place. And there are positives and certainly negatives to this. I'm not going to crap on this match yet. Some people think that it's going to be Goldberg-Lesnar from WrestleMania 20 Part 2. I don't think it would be that bad because this isn't a case of both men leaving the company after this. Roman Reigns is here for the long haul. It's a much different set of circumstances. But from a crowd turning on it perspective, could it happen? Yeah. But anyway, what do you think about this sit down with Michael Cole with Reigns on Friday?
You know, I really do like Roman Reigns, the person. And that's why every time I see him in a sit down interview like this, I'm just like, I really want to like the guy. I really do want to like this guy. But it's just the whole character, and I just can't get by the fact, and I'll just use it as an example. Like, his pyro at Super Showdown? Is that what it was, or was it Crown Jewel this time?
It's Super Showdown.
Super Showdown. Like, his pyro was so over the top extreme. Like, it was just out of this world. And it's just little things like that that make me say, his character is just so shoved in your face that you resent it. And but then you get him in a sit-down interview and you're just like, oh, he's a pretty cool guy. So, like, for me, like, I'm always kind of torn, like, my God, he seems really cool, so I'm going to go for him. But then I see, like, when he's in the ring and how Michael Cole introduces him on the mic and the pyro, and I'm just like, I can't with this guy. Now, that being said, I think this was all kind of calculated with Goldberg winning the championship, with the crowd clearly reacting to him negatively the following night on SmackDown when he came out as Universal Champion. I felt this was more calculated booking by WWE. And we talked about it the last time I was on the show, where everything they've done with Roman Reigns, every way they've booked him and every match he's won since he's come back from cancer, has been calculated to make him look strong, to go against guys that they knew he would be cheered for. And they're doing it again now. And I don't know if they're going to revolt like they did in 2004 with Brock and Goldberg, because that just seemed like just a really special case and a unique situation. But that being said, I think the match isn't going to be too good. And I just don't know if people are going to care about it. And I'm really scared that they're going to send it on last ahead of, after Drew and Brock. And they have to be very careful with this, because I don't know how the crowd is going to react.
Whew. This is a match in kind of reversing your comments, talking about WrestleMania first. This is a match, as you said, if the placement and idea is to put them on last, I guess there's two schools of thought on that. You could say, well, if it's going to be last, your hope is that the audience is too worn out emotionally and physically to care too much about it, in which case it would just be kind of a smattering of boos, but not an outright rejection, because the audience after 7 hours are going to be completely spent. On the flip side, you could say, well, sometimes the audience comes back for the main event. Sometimes you get that second wind and look forward to what that final match is, and maybe saving their energy to really send a message to WWE of like, F this. And they could do that too. So it's very dangerous to put it on last. I would not put it on last. I would put it towards the middle of the show, if not maybe the first half of the show, and just get it out of the way. If fans are going to boo, they're going to boo, but it won't be the lasting image of the fans crapping all over this match, which is an absolute possibility. And again, if it's the match quality that's going to be the culprit, then I don't think you can blame Roman Reigns. As you said, Roman Reigns, the guy, Joe Anoa'i, I think that's how I pronounce it, but I'm terrible at pronunciation with that. Joe the man is, I believe, a very good man, a very laid back family man, great guy. Roman Reigns the character is not a guy that I can feel that I can connect with. You said it, this is a guy, if I have to consciously try to like somebody, I that means I don't like them. I shouldn't have to consciously try. I should be automatic. It should be just a process that happens naturally. You don't even have to think about it. You just are drawn to somebody. This is a guy that I have never been drawn to in any capacity to say, hey, that's my guy in WWE. I just have never felt that way. I don't think this match with Goldberg is going to change my opinion in any capacity. And you're looking at also the fact that, I mean, I'll get to his comments in a second too, but the spear versus spear. This is, and Roman Reigns said it. He said this is not about one move. Well, to Goldberg it is, because that's the only move he's got outside of the jackhammer, which has now kind of morphed into just to a vertical suplex, if you ask Bray Wyatt. So this is, to me, it'll probably be a longer match than most expect, maybe 5 minutes. I mean, that's crazy. Maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and spear and kick out and spear and kick out and jackhammer and kick out and spear and Roman wins. I mean, that's probably, I just outlaid 90% of the moves that are going to happen in this match. Some of his comments, the thing is, like you said, all the goodwill, all the effort that WWE has put on over the past year, the comeback from cancer, the feel good story, all of the matches, all of the odds he's overcome, all the obstacles, all the hit and runs and the vehicular manslaughter attempts by Eric Rowan, all of that he's overcome. King Corbin for 8 years this past year. I mean, it felt like all of that is going to be for naught, and he undid a lot of it this past week on SmackDown with Michael Cole interviewing him. I mean, the first thing he says is that Goldberg went to Georgia, so I don't know if he's smart enough to operate a bulldozer. That's the first thing he said. Insulting, what, millions of people in Georgia? Like, immediately talking about the intelligence of people in Georgia. If you're from Georgia, basically you're a dumbass. I mean, in essence, that's what he said. So I'll get into more of the comments in a second, but I'll pause for your reaction.
You're listening to the WWE Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
So in all of our daily lives, we've all faced stress, right? We've all faced burnout, but we want to get goals accomplished. We have a vision. We have something that we want to do, but we often blame it on a lack of sleep. We've all heard, if you guys know the stories about Vince, he doesn't sleep. He often has told Jim Ross that sleep is the enemy, JR. And yet Vince McMahon has become one of the most successful men in the history of entertainment. And how does Vince do it with such little sleep? Well, guys, I'm about to open up this secret for you, unlock it, and give you guys an insight into it. Because there's a book out there that explains the myth that you have to get a certain amount of sleep to be successful. This book talks about the difference of quality sleep versus quantity of sleep, and how you can achieve your goals with a minimal amount of sleep. So what is this book? It's called Accomplished. It's by Carice LeGuerre. You can find it on Amazon. Just search for Accomplished and you will see it pop up. It already has all 5-star ratings on its reviews. So check out Accomplished by Carice LeGuerre. The last name, if you want it spelled, is LAGUERRE. So guys, don't wait another minute. Find out how to maximize your time and not just focus on how much sleep you're getting, but the type of sleep you're getting, and unlock the secrets to what Vince McMahon and others are doing and how they have so much time and are so successful on such minimal amount of sleep. So again, guys, check out Accomplished on Amazon today. So if you guys have a podcast, obviously like I do, or if you're thinking about starting one, you're not sure where to start or what kind of tips and help you may need, you guys should really head over to Fiverr and check out DB Sound. This is a guy that has been doing this for years, and he will edit your audio, make sure that it sounds good. If you have intros or outros, he'll stick those in there as well. And if you're concerned about what others have to say, don't be concerned. His rating is 5 out of 5 stars, and that's with over 1,200 reviews. So you guys should have no worries in terms of if he's going to give you a good quality product, because he will. I've seen it. And if you are thinking about getting into the audio space and podcasting, check him out. He'll also edit any YouTube videos that you may have in audio. And obviously, if you are outputting your sound in multiple formats and you want to be on Apple Podcasts and everything else, you need to have great sound. The sound quality is everything in podcasting. It's the only way you communicate with your audience, and DB Sound is going to be the way to go. He is one of the most respected sellers on Fiverr, and I can tell you that with confidence. One of the highest rated. So check out DB Sound. I'll put on a link on my Twitter feed as well for those that may have trouble finding him. So check out my Twitter feed. And again, the seller's name is DB Sound, and he is just absolutely amazing at what he does in editing and taking out the ums and ahs and pauses and all that kind of stuff that you may not want to do as a podcaster, whether you're a veteran or you're just starting out. He understands the necessity of the quality of audio that you put out there as a podcaster. So check him out. It's DB Sound, and I'll put a link on my Twitter feed. Inco Framing is the industry leader in manufacturing and distribution of custom picture frames and molding. They provide customized, innovative products and solutions for their customers. And every year, Inco collects, recycles, and reuses over 50,000 tons of EPS foam waste worldwide. From there, Inco Framing successfully makes the waste foam into high-quality and eco-friendly moldings and frames. Currently, they provide prompt transportation and delivery of their products all over the world. You can check them out at inco-framing.com. That's INCO-framing.com.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
But, you know, it's because they're trying to make us feel like, oh yeah, this is Roman Reigns' big moment. Like, this is the big, like, landmark match for him. But I'm just like, we've seen it before. You know, he went head-to-head with Brock twice. He main evented WrestleMania with Triple H. You know, this is the he main evented WrestleMania with The Undertaker. You know, this is the fifth time in 6 years that he's going to be main eventing. And you can't even say, well, now he's against a legacy star. No, because he did that with Triple H and Undertaker. Okay, well, he's against an ass kicker now. Well, he did it twice against Brock. We've seen it before. It's been done. We've been there. We've done that. Like, that's why with The Fiend, at least, it wouldn't have been a predictable thing. Like, it's just like, okay, no, he's going head-to-head with a full-time guy who's being booked really strongly heading into Mania. Roman Reigns is probably going to win, but there's a solid chance that the Fiend could retain. But now it's just like, we know that Goldberg isn't going to carry the belt past WrestleMania. Any person with half a brain knows that. And you know that it's going to probably be another Brock-esque match. Maybe it will go close to 10 minutes. That wouldn't shock me because Roman Reigns is good in the ring. But it's just all these factors of, like, you just know what you're going to get. You know that Roman Reigns is going to win. You know that it's going to be probably one move over and over again from both wrestlers. Like, it's just... There's nothing about this match that makes me say, oh yeah, I'm super excited for it. At least when he fought Triple H, you could say, okay, well, Triple H is a ring general and it's going to be a solid match. Like, and it's going to be like pretty well drawn out. Or the Undertaker, everyone is always going to be excited to see him. Like, it's Goldberg. Like, Goldberg wasn't even awesome back in his heyday. And I just don't know. There's no redeeming qualities about this match or this storyline. And even the way that they came face to face. Now, to be fair, that was more on Goldberg when he came into the ring and he says, it's not about who's last. It's about who's next. And then he turns around and he's staring at the entrance ramp, waiting for Roman Reigns to come out. And then Roman Reigns just struts to the ring, says, I'm next. And now they're main eventing WrestleMania. Like, why? Just because you walked out and you guys came face to face. And I know that they've gone away from like the whole GM thing, but at least we could get some kind of a reasoning. Like, again, why is it just Roman Reigns walking out and declaring that he's now main eventing WrestleMania with Goldberg? Like, it's just the way that they booked that match on television was the way that they probably booked it backstage of, well, it's Roman Reigns, therefore he's main eventing WrestleMania.
You hit on so much stuff here. I mean, I'm like furiously writing notes because I'll forget what I want to say. So, I mean, the thing is with WWE, right? Like, they have had this flaw in their booking system, their ecosystem, just the way that they structure championship matches. As long as I can remember of being a fan since 97, is that if you attack a champion, you'll get rewarded with a championship match. I mean, look what happened with Shayna Baszler. Even though she was already included in the Elimination Chamber, or she wasn't included, she got basically rewarded for chewing Becky's neck off. And, like, there's a history of booking throughout almost its entire modern era of all you have to do to get a championship match is don't worry about a tournament, don't worry about earning it, you just attack the champion backstage, at their home, in the ring, screw them out of a match. That's all you have to do is be an a-hole and interrupt them or do whatever, and that's how you get your championship match. And I understand that there are some times that needs to happen, but it's almost always the case. And in this case with Roman Reigns, they didn't have him attack Goldberg, but they just had to come out and declare that he's the number one contender. Well, why? No one else has anything to say about it. No one else even could attempt to challenge Reigns against him. I mean, it's just, well, Roman Reigns says so. I mean, yeah. And the thing is, maybe they didn't do that for the fact of, say, Roman entered the Elimination Chamber. They had a men's Elimination Chamber match, which they didn't. Or maybe they had him in some, you know, multi-week format of a tournament to determine the number one contender. everyone would have said, it's Roman Reigns. It's Roman Reigns. And maybe the creative team said, let's just not even go that road and waste everyone's time for the fact that Roman Reigns, everyone's just going to get pissed off that it's Roman Reigns anyway. Let's just rip the Band-Aid and just, hey, it's Roman, have him come out and declare it. So I understand that, but, I mean, that's probably what they were thinking and not even bother putting him in the chamber. So this whole thing, I think, is not going to be well received by the audience. I truly believe that Goldberg winning the championship was WWE's way of saying, this is the best chance that we have for Roman Reigns not getting booed at WrestleMania is against Goldberg, because the fans perceive Goldberg as a part-time legacy star that is past his prime, and it's time for the guys that are here to make their names and to lead the company into the future, not these part-time guys like Brock Lesnar who come in and Goldberg and try to just, you know, basically run the place as long as they're here, throw the belt on themselves when it's really about the future and not them. So that's their thinking, and that he has a better chance of getting cheered against Reigns or against Goldberg than he did against The Fiend, which is probably true. But now you're also running the risk of the crowd just completely rejecting this match outright, not just booing Reigns, but booing both guys. Like, this could be a total disaster in Tampa in a few weeks. And I'll stop there. Any final remarks on that?
No, just, you're right. I think it was all just a calculated way to get Roman Reigns cheered, or just given the best possibility to get cheered. And it's just kind of sad that they would compromise one of the main events of WrestleMania just to get him not booed, I guess, because to your point, I think he would have gotten booed if he went head to head with The Fiend. And it's just sad that they'll just go to all costs to make sure that it's an optimal situation for one guy.
And I've always said that. I've been saying that for months now, is whenever you're in doubt, whenever you're not sure where they're going, just look up. Look to the skies, because all roads lead to Roman Reigns. Anytime you're in doubt and you're like, I just don't know what they're going to do here, all you have to do is think like Vince McMahon and go, what's the best way we can get Roman over here, or Roman to mitigate the boos? What's the best way? And they're really sacrificing so much along the way just to make sure that the guy that Vince views as the guy doesn't get the reaction that Vince doesn't want. Instead of just doing what is best for damn business, as to use an overused cliche, that this is something that the audience has been saying, hey, this is not our guy forever. And if you have to basically pussyfoot around and tiptoe around to make sure that Roman Reigns doesn't get booed, then you're not doing the right thing. There's so much. They move heaven and earth to make sure Roman Reigns doesn't get booed. The way Michael Cole says big dog, I mean, he says boss time the same way, which is just really, I mean, yeah, Sasha Banks is a heel, but it's just like a Pavlovian reaction. I can't stand the way Michael Cole does it. And I think at this point, he's probably just trolling the fans, but it doesn't help Roman Reigns getting cheered, because the people that are at home remember that when they go to the arena. I mean, that's something that is in their subconscious. It's flat out annoying. So, so while we're quickly on the topic of WrestleMania, before I forget, we're all just assuming this thing's going on in 3 weeks. I have to ask, do you think this is going to happen on April 5th? Do you think it could be delayed, outright canceled, on as scheduled? What's your take on it?
I don't see how it happens. Like, I just read before coming on that the CDC wants all major group gathering events banned until May 10th or something. I don't see how WWE gets an exception for this, especially with an event that is supposed to have like 70,000 plus people in it. I don't know, because again, it's unprecedented. I don't know what they're going to do with this. You'd have to assume it gets delayed until at least May or what have you. I don't know how WWE would get special treatment in such a global emergency, if you want to call it that, like this.
Yeah, I don't either. And even if they could get a special like pass on this, would you really want to? Because,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, even if they were to say, well, go ahead. Does WWE really want to be that organization that is viewed as the one that just doesn't seem to care about the public health? I mean, that the one that just says, and we're going to roll the dice on our fans' health when they said that the priority of their health and their performers is their priority. If it really was, then they probably should delay it. I mean, they can't do both. So I believe that it will be delayed, as painful as that's going to be and how much that's going to suck as a wrestling fan. And it's just, it's almost like a bad dream as a wrestling fan with, out of all pay-per-views, it has to happen during WrestleMania season. So if that's the case, assuming they do this in sometime in May, which I think is the most likely scenario, maybe delayed until June at the absolute latest, but assuming it's delayed, a month or so, how does WWE proceed with their TV tapings if they have to add 4 more weeks or more of television and they can't do it in arena? Do they continue to do these kind of odd performance center shows? I mean, imagine Stone Cold coming out on Raw to an empty arena. It just doesn't, it's wrong. I mean, I don't care if they overlay a crowd reaction. I mean, I just don't know what they do here. What could they possibly do if WrestleMania is delayed another 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks and they have to produce 5, 6 weeks of more television? How do they do this?
You know, I know that WWE prides themselves on being a weekly episodic show, or what Raw and SmackDown are, and they will not cancel it. But I think in a situation like this, that if you go ahead with these shows in front of nobody, and like you said, you're going to have guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin or Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, trot out there, I think it'd do more harm than good, to be quite honest. I think that if they get confirmation that they're postponing WrestleMania until X date, until then, you can't really keep pushing out original content. I think you would kind of just have to stall it. And I know that's not what they would want to do, and they've been running Raw for 21 years or 26 years, however long it has been, and 20 years for SmackDown. And every week it's a brand new original episode. But it's a special circumstance global wide. And I don't think anyone would really hold it against WWE if they, for 8 weeks or so, they put out a Raw or a SmackDown that on those time slots they air special episodes from the past from Raw and SmackDown or what have you. I think that if you keep trying to pump out original content like they did that this past Friday on SmackDown, you're really just going to hurt the product, and you're going to get really subpar storylines going into WrestleMania, and it's going to get mundane, and it's just going to get boring. And don't get me wrong, I respect the hell out of all the wrestlers and all like the team that put that SmackDown together. They did a hell of a job given the circumstances. But you really can't expect to do that twice a week for 2+ months and try and keep everyone intrigued and interested. That's a lot, and it's unfair to ask of the wrestlers to do that. That's hard, and it's really difficult, and I wouldn't want to do that. But I just think in this particular circumstance, it would be best for WWE to kind of just put a hold on all creative until this thing blows over.
That's probably the best option. I don't know what they would do, like you said, for another, 7 weeks, assuming that's the time frame. I mean, God knows, it may be longer. Who the heck knows how long this whole thing's going to last? It's hard to put a date on it. I mean, the thinking is, well, actually, it's not the thinking. The statement that was put out is that this week, WWE and Tampa officials are going to meet and make a final decision about WrestleMania. And it seems as if Tampa is leaning more towards, if WWE doesn't do it, we're going to pull the plug. I mean, I believe that was the latest statement a day or two ago from one of the city officials. So it sounds like Tampa is leaning on the air of caution, which I totally agree. As selfish as I want to be and say that, F it, just do WrestleMania so I can sit my ass home in my safe little quarantined house and, sit up with my, snacks in one hand and beer in the other or whatever. I don't think it is that. If I was WWE, it would just tear my guts out. And I'm sure Vince McMahon is getting little to no sleep over this, because this will be the first time ever he has to take his baby and push it back a month, 2 months, or God knows, maybe more. So it's hard, again, to put a date on. So when they make the decision this week, and they ultimately are probably going to make the one to delay it, how do you put a date on it? I mean, I would just, if I was WWE, I would just say it'll be this WrestleMania is going to be delayed. It will happen. We'll put it on. We'll let the fans know as soon as we can, rather than giving us a false hope of date. Say the virus gets worse over the next month or two. You can't have it in May and then have it get pushed back again. I would unfortunately be vague about it, because you have to be. This is not something that is easily definable of, oh, well, after this date, it's over. I mean, that's the whole point. That's what's so frustrating about this whole thing. So if I was WWE, I'd be vague about it. I would just say that this is when, you know, we're looking at this time frame. But my point is, yes, WWE needs to unfortunately not cancel. God almighty, God willing, they say cancel. I think people would be in an uproar. They can't cancel it. But with the fact that there's a flight ban in and out of the country, you can't exclude the international fans that are such a huge part of the show, that have invested, you know, time off of work and, you know, their passion and their everything, their money, to get to WWE's biggest event of the year, and then not include them and just, you know, do the show without them. So to me, this is unfortunately a no-brainer, and it's going to be really hard to deal with. But I mean, it is what it is, and I will be all for just kind of having the Raw's best moments or whatever over the next couple of months, and rather than doing these kind of awkward at times shows that you have legends coming out to nobody. It just, you need an audience at some point.
Yeah, it's because, again, it's unfair for the wrestlers, and then you're going to get all these like kind of subpar storylines, because no matter how good the performances are and no matter how good the promos are, without the live audience, it's not the same. And, like, you know, they're bringing back Stone Cold tomorrow night. It's not going to be the same. You know, I always think the best thing about Stone Cold coming back or The Rock coming back is, like, the reactions from the crowd. And I just think that WWE just kind of has to bite the bullet and just for the next couple weeks or however long this may be, just have like special Raw episodes or SmackDown episodes where you can have someone hosting it or different wrestlers hosting it and doing countdowns. I just don't see a way how you could put out original content content every week that would be constructive for the long-term goal. If they try and put out original content every week or twice a week with Raw and SmackDown like they did this past Friday, it's just going to be for the, like, it would just be a selfish decision, and it wouldn't really result in anything good, in my opinion.
No, it wouldn't. And if this next show on Monday night is the last time we see an empty arena, I'm fine with it. I don't need WWE doing it to think that fans want this, rather than waiting for a live audience that adds just an immeasurable amount of really just watchability to the show. And I don't want Stone Cold coming out there and having nobody there. And from what I understand, Stone Cold is still on his way to Monday Night Raw. And I don't see anything on WWE.com that is pointing towards WWE pushing it to the Performance Center. Do you see anything? I haven't seen anything.
I do believe that it's going to be at the Performance Center, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I don't see a way that they're actually going to do it in front of a live audience.
All right. So anyway, the last thing is that I really just, I'm fine with the best of. And as you said, I mean, with WWE and this next Monday Night Raw, Stone Cold put out an Instagram and he looked like he was on his way. He was like hashtagging, you know, 316 day tomorrow. I don't see anything officially announced by WWE, but at least for tomorrow's Raw, but I don't want to see and hear the glass crash and see nobody there. It's just empty in my heart. As much as I love seeing stunners in beer, it really, the audience is such a huge part of that. So, and any final comments on the, you know, what we could be seeing over the next few weeks?
Stay right there. The WWE podcast will return after this quick break.
So if you guys have a podcast, obviously like I do, or if you're thinking about starting one, you're not sure where to start or what kind of tips and help you may need, you guys should really head over to Fiverr and check out DB Sound. This is a guy that has been doing this for years, and he will edit your audio, make sure that it sounds good. If you have intros or outros, he'll stick those in there as well. And if you're concerned about what others have to say, don't be concerned. His rating is 5 out of 5 stars, and that's with over 1,200 reviews. So You guys should have no worries in terms of if he's going to give you a good quality product, because he will. I've seen it. And if you are thinking about getting into the audio space and podcasting, check him out. He'll also edit any YouTube videos that you may have in audio. And obviously, if you are outputting your sound in multiple formats and you want to be on Apple Podcasts and everything else, you need to have great sound. The sound quality is everything in podcasting. It's the only way you communicate with your audience, and DB Sound is going to be the way to go. He is one of the most respected sellers on Fiverr, and I can tell you that with confidence. One of the highest rated. So check out DB Sound. I'll put on a link on my Twitter feed as well for those that may have trouble finding him. So check out my Twitter feed. And again, the seller's name is DB Sound, and he is just absolutely amazing at what he does in editing and taking out the ums and ahs and pauses and all that kind of stuff that you may not want to do as a podcaster, whether you're a veteran or you're just starting out. He understands the necessity of the quality of audio that you put out there as a podcaster. So check him out. It's DB Sound, and I'll put a link on my Twitter feed.
Welcome back to the WWE Podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
I just think that, well, I know that Vince McMahon will probably do everything in his power to just push out original content every week for Raw and SmackDown, but I just think after a certain point, they're just going to have to realize that pushing out original content weekly, trying to do it in front of nobody, is just going to do more harm than good. And just to get to WrestleMania, all the builds won't be very good. And I think that eventually WWE will come to their senses and just halt the content until all of this coronavirus stuff is regulated.
Yeah, very good. I'm with you. All right. Well, moving on, a couple more items before we wrap things up. I was curious, and there were rumors too, well, not rumors, it was actually confirmed that Paige was going to make her way into the SmackDown show last week, and she obviously didn't, and they touted that it was travel issues, and I do believe that. I don't think that was a sleight of hand. I think that was actually the case for Paige. And recently, in an interview that Paige did, she noted that it's possible. She said, and I quote, that I think it's always a possibility one day. You can never say never. It's not going to be anytime soon. That's mostly all I can say about it. It's really hard because I just had neck surgery in August. My neck is just getting healthier quicker the second time around, which is crazy. I feel absolutely fantastic, so we'll see where it goes. So she could be taking the Daniel Bryan road here. Seeing Paige back in the ring, that would be, which to me, it sounds like she is probably closer than she's letting on of getting involved. What could Paige be doing if she comes back in an actual in-ring capacity?
Well, she's been out for, what, 2 years now about? And when she went out, you know, she was as over as anyone. But, you know, since I've seen Daniel Bryan come back and since I've seen Edge come back, anything is possible. Obviously, for her, it's a bit different than those two because she's, what, like 24 years old? She had only been in the ring for about 3 or 4 years when this started. And she had to retire unceremoniously, but it was, I would love to see it because I think that she had, like, she was very original. And that's what I liked about Paige is that she was different. She wasn't my favorite by any stretch, but I liked her for that reason. And she was good in the ring. I wouldn't rule anything out since I've seen Edge and Daniel Bryan come back, and I would certainly welcome it.
I would too. I really feel like that she has a lot to offer. She's got a very big it factor. I like her in-ring work. On the mic, she's one of the best women on the mic for sure. She just has a presence about her. Seems like she's in a much better space from a personal perspective as well. So all around, I mean, I would love to see her back in the ring. And I believe it has been 2 years. And I think that they probably are preparing her for some kind of in-ring capacity based on really the fact that they were advertising her heavily for returning to SmackDown, and they did it on WWE.com, and Paige saying that it's always possible. Well, you know, you're not going to say, yeah, I'm ready to go for WrestleMania. I mean, obviously she has to let on a little bit more than she needs to, but yeah, I'm excited for it. If it happens, if and when it sounds like it happens now, So the other thing I wanted to ask you about, too, this past Monday, we haven't really touched on Raw at all, but your thoughts on Edge's return and the last show we've seen in front of a live audience, and seeing Edge come back, RKO Randy, and then basically incapacitate and try to cripple MVP. So what did you think of that whole return after we haven't seen Edge for, what, 6-7 weeks?
You know, I'm not going to lie. It felt very awkward and anticlimactic for me. I really had no idea what MVP was doing there, and nor do I have an idea why he's been hanging around and lingering since the Royal Rumble. You know, I don't know. Like, I thought the return was going to be very explosive and, you know, for all the reasons and all this build and all this great storyline and writing they've done since the Royal Rumble with him and Randy. But I just felt that MVP, like, kicking off that segment really kind of just, poured water on the whole thing. And then Edge came out. I didn't feel like the pop was as big just because they kind of knew it was coming and they had the camera in the back. And then him and Randy have a quick exchange in the ring, and then he just pretty much just destroys MVP, concertos him, what, twice or whatever? And I don't know. Don't get me wrong, I liked it, but it was really kind of anticlimactic and somewhat awkward with MVP in that whole, like, angle.
It was very weird. Like you said, it didn't feel as if that was the best way to reintroduce Edge. Number one, we didn't get an explanation of how he was okay, what the doctor said, that, you know, nothing up on his neck. So maybe we'll get more of a talking version of Edge on Monday, or maybe we won't. I don't know. But to me, yeah, they advertised Edge in advance, which I'm not always about surprises. But in this case, the buildup was building and building and building as to when we were going to see Edge again. That particular case, I would not have announced it ahead of time. I know that sometimes they do it to see if it helps out ratings to announce it ahead of time, to see if people tune in ahead of time. But this to me would have been a better factor, a better surprise, more of a shock, a better feeling if Edge had just showed up. Even if you know it's coming, you just don't know exactly when. So to me, that was number one. Edge seemed crazed, as he should, as he, you know, did very well. He can tell a story with his eyes in a way that I don't know anyone else that can. It's just, I love the way Edge uses his eyes. He knows that he's good at it, and he is. Him coming out and RKOing Randy, I like seeing Randy finally get, you know, his, you know, what he's got coming to him. But I was willing to wait all the way to WrestleMania to see Edge even get a finger on Randy. I would have gone the road of Sami Zayn and Braun Strowman, of where Randy or Edge just can't find Randy, or Randy is via satellite, or Randy uses a mass amount of security in order to, you know, keep Edge away from him, and he just can't seem to get him, and you have to wait till WrestleMania. So again, that's my own thought. And then having MVP be the sacrificial lamb, doing the same thing that Edge did to, or Randy did to him. But for MVP, I know that you could chalk it up to, oh, he's pent up aggression. Well, why didn't he just chase Randy up the stage? I know he's going to run, but at least direct it to a guy that's right, you know, 50 feet away from you, rather than the guy you just took out with a spear. I don't know. It's not the way I would have used him. It's not the worst thing they've ever done at all. But I just don't think it was really, I guess the phrase is, maximizing the minutes for Edge there.
Yeah, and like you said, it's not the worst thing by any stretch, but it's like, you had it. You had it all, like, right there for you. All you had to do was just execute it properly, and it just seemed like, well, it wasn't bad. It was just like, okay, that's what it was. And like you said, like, I wasn't really expecting Randy to, like, attack him right away in the ring. And don't get me wrong, I'm still looking forward to it. This build, for the most part, has still been A+ across the board. But it was just kind of like, why is MVP there? It's just, I don't know why he's in WWE, period, right now. But just involved in this, like, I don't care that he was in his prime with them back in the mid-2000s. Like, I don't know. It just seemed all very odd. And like you said, like, why is he trying to incapacitate MVP, who really has nothing to do with this? And I don't know. I'm sure they're going to fix it, and it wasn't even bad, or they didn't break anything, but it was just very bizarre from my standpoint.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. They didn't break this at all. I mean, it bent slightly, but I am still looking forward to this in a very big way. I just hope that at WrestleMania, whenever the hell WrestleMania is actually going to be held, is not handcuffing Randy and Edge in this match. And what I mean is, when we had Randy Orton versus Triple H at WrestleMania 25, I believe, when Randy Orton was attacking Triple H's wife, when Triple H attacked Randy at his home, and it was extremely personal, and Randy chalked it up to some mental disability he had that actually ended up being a lie, and that somehow he was able to coerce management into giving or making this match a just straight up wrestling match. And if Triple H was disqualified, the championship would change hands and Randy would, you know, become champion. I didn't like that. It handcuffed you at WrestleMania. That's not the time to handcuff performers. So I hope that this is not a situation like that where this has to be a straight-up wrestling match. No, this needs to be – this to me, if you're ever going to do Hell in a Cell, boy, this is where you do Hell in a Cell. This is not one of those programmatic, it's part of the schedule, let's throw it in the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view in September, October. This to me is worthy of the Cell. This is when you bring out the Cell and have it mean something, and that's what I hope they do. I hope this is not just a straight-up wrestling match. It shouldn't be.
You know, this is one of those things that it calls for like a street fight or no holds barred. This is going to be a fight. And these are the kind of matches that back in the day when it was PG-14, I would look forward to even more so than the championship matches. But, you know, it's still going to be a good payoff. And I'm sure that's going to be an A-plus match. And it's going to be really, really awesome. And I'm sure they're going to get this back on track. It was just, I don't know. I always feel that returns get the biggest pops and they always get the biggest reaction. And it was just a return, even though it was kind of like Edge's return 2.0, it still felt very like flat to me. And it's too bad because it was all right there for the taking.
It was, it really was. And, I just think that they've done so much good with this story that this to me is, I'm looking forward to the quality. I think this could be a very, very good match from an in-ring physical perspective. The story is really, I think, the top story in WWE. This is clearly their A story. I don't even, you know, anybody that tries to argue that Goldberg Reigns is their top story, or even to some extent Brock Lesnar, Drew McIntyre, although that's a very close second, when it comes to in-depth, detailed story that has a very solid foundation, there's nothing that can hold a candle to Randy Orton and Edge. And as good as Drew McIntyre and Brock have been, and I have given credit to both men over the last few weeks, it just, to me, Edge and Randy is the, to me, should be even maybe, you could even argue the main event. I don't think they'll do it. I think a championship match will be the main event, aka the last match of the show. But all right, well, I know that we're running up against time here, but was there anything that, well, there is a lot that we didn't get to, but anything that maybe you wanted to chat about quickly or comment on that we didn't get to?
I think the only thing that I could comment on is the AJ Styles and Undertaker thing. And you know what, AJ Styles, I liked his promo on Raw, and I found that I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I found it kind of cool that he was trying to humanize The Undertaker because he isn't as ominous as he used to be, and I like that he kind of brought that up. But I just got to say that every time I see The Undertaker as of late, the most recent being Elimination Chamber, for me, it's just a tragedy seeing him and how far he's come. And I'm not trying to make fun of him or like say that, oh, you know, he should look better at his age and he probably will look 10 times better than I will at that age. But I just feel that every time they bring him back and they force him back, it just does way more harm than good. And it just really just discredits the character that had led up to this point.
Yes. Sadly, I would agree with you on The Undertaker there. And like you said, and I know WWE makes this point too. Even Michael Cole blatantly said, you know, that we need to appreciate every single appearance we may have, regardless of the fact that he may not be the dead man of, you know, 2000. But, and I agree to that to a degree, but I'm not a fan of seeing a guy that's in the ring that is not who he used to be, that we all remember him as. And he's still the dead man. And the AJ Styles tactic was certainly one that no one else has ever taken against The Undertaker, and particularly in his dead man form. So there's been a lot of swirling rumors that we may see a version of The Undertaker that we haven't seen before, some kind of 2020 version of the American Badass, maybe just Mark Calloway coming out. I mean, that would be striking. I mean, I've seen things of that nature. And you can make an argument for that based on AJ Styles' personal attack on his wife, and that she's basically a gold digger, and she's the one who's running the show. You could make a case that he would have some kind of alteration in his character, and humanizing him was definitely something that I didn't see coming. This story needed something after Undertaker just handily defeated AJ Styles at the Super Showdown with a single choke slam. I was not a fan of that, and particularly if they were going to build to this story at WrestleMania, but they went a different road. It instantly got us all back interested, because this is something that was very personal very quickly. And would you be interested in seeing a different version of this Undertaker other than the dead man? Just let's say Mark Calloway coming out on Monday night or whenever they get back to Raw in front of a live audience?
I thought that they were kicking tires on the idea when he came back WrestleMania 34 to fight Cena. If I'm not mistaken, they were kicking tires on him coming back as like kind of the biker humanized version of him. And I think that would be the best way now. But to the same token, like, they're so far gone, and you have to think that sooner or later he's going to retire. And I don't know. I just think that at this point, no matter how you bring him back, it's just doing more harm than good. Because you look at guys who have gone out in their prime, and even a guy like Kane, like, he wasn't at his best when he stopped full time, but he's better than what Undertaker is now. And Kane and Big Show and those kind of guys were never at the level of The Undertaker. But The Undertaker is like the only guy who was ever at that elite level who has just kept on coming back and coming back and coming back. And you've seen him deteriorate in the ring physically. It's like The Rock went out on top. Stone Cold Steve Austin went out on top. Triple H still fights maybe once or twice a year, but he's in peak physical form and 10 years younger than The Undertaker. I don't know, the way that they've just insisted on bringing The Undertaker back and back and back and back, they've just backed themselves into a corner now, no pun intended, that you can bring her back as the American Badass, as the Dead Man, any rendition you want, and there's just no way, at least from my perspective, having watched him for the last 20 years, that you can salvage him and make him as credible and ominous as he once was.
You can't. The fact is, you just can't. You can't bring him back to the way he was. And maybe having him come out there as Mark Calloway, certainly people would, my God, imagine the social media. Like, it would be interesting as hell to see just the Mark Calloway playing himself coming out and talking to AJ Styles. And maybe him playing himself rather than trying to be the dead man that he's really no longer a credible version of would be certainly the most authentic version of himself, but it was also kind of at the same time kill the dead man character. I mean, outright. I mean, because then it would just be on TV, even in fantasy land, him saying that he's playing a dead man when he's really not anymore. And I don't, unless Undertaker is going to retire with that, I don't need to see him do that and then try to come back as the dead man. Because then you'd be like, well, he was just coming out here talking about him just being Mark now. I mean, I know they're also trying to get to that nice even number of 30 years. So they want to get to Survivor Series this year, because that would be exactly 30 years that he debuted in 1990. So I know that, and obviously with Bray Wyatt hinting at that date of 11/20/19 or something like that, there was something in one of his promos months ago that would that alluded to him hunting down The Undertaker at Survivor Series. So I have that sinking suspicion that they won't be able to help themselves, and he will be at Survivor Series. And I understand why, to get to that nice even 30, maybe against Bray Wyatt and hanging it up there. But yeah, there's a lot of ways to go here. And ultimately, what this all boils down to, am I interested in AJ Styles versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania? Yes, I am, but I'm not as excited as I feel like I should be. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Like I can't ever crap on the Undertaker for like all the great moments he's given us, but you know, I just think back to WrestleMania 29 when he had the match with Triple H and it was dubbed End of an Era. And I just can't help but think like, or no, sorry, I think that was WrestleMania 28 actually, End of an Era. So even going back longer than that and just saying to myself like, you guys had it. You created the slogan yourselves, and then what is it, 8 years later, you're still trotting this guy out there and he's broken down and he's lost twice at WrestleMania now. And I don't know. It's just for me, it's more sad than anything that this is how I'm going to remember The Undertaker when I watch him all those years being a dominant force, or even the newer audience, the younger audience, where they've been told that The Undertaker is this great big elite, one of the best of all time. And then he comes out and he doesn't even do a tombstone anymore. He just kind of does a half-ass choke slam.
I even noticed that. Yeah, that choke slam. Both choke slams on AJ Styles were, oh man, they weren't even good choke slam. That's one of the easiest moves to deliver. Like I could deliver that move. I mean, you just kind of put your arm around or your hand around the neck of your opponent, have him jump, do 100% of the work, and you just extend your arm fully and come down. I mean, I guess the extension part is what's getting him. And again, we're not making fun of him. It's just we don't want to see him in this version of him, because it's starting to take away from the legacy of who he is. And I, again, the most respected man in the business, he is one of the you could put him on any Mount Rushmore of wrestling, any Mount Rushmore anywhere. You could make the argument he is the greatest of all time. And it's just, I don't need this version of him. As many people say, oh, one more match. We don't. I mean, like, we just don't. It's cool to see his entrance. If he just kind of rode off into the sunset and said, that was my final match back when you talked about in 2000, oh God, what was it, 2014 or whatever the heck it was, 2012 rather, when he had that match against Triple H and the End of an Era, Shawn Michaels was the referee, and I actually had believed that was the end of the streak with the Sweet Chin Music and then the Pedigree. That made me pop. I mean, my God, I remember jumping out of my seat. I go, that's got to be it. That match was awesome off the charts. Both matches with HBK were, particularly WrestleMania 25, both matches with Triple H were amazing. And then ever since that time, it's really kind of declined. And if he had hanged it up there, and occasionally he comes back and does the Stone Cold thing where he, you know, comes out, just delivers somebody a choke slammer, occasionally a tombstone. I'm all for that. I'm all for the gong going off to drop somebody that deserves to be dropped. But I'm not for really at this point seeing Taker in an in-ring capacity. And I hate saying that, but it's starting to, I think, unfortunately, take away a little bit from what he is.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing of like, he just isn't what he once was, and he hasn't been that way for a while. Like, the last good WrestleMania match I think I saw him have was probably against Bray Wyatt, and that was because he took pretty much a year off completely after losing to Brock, and he came back in pretty good shape, and they put on a pretty good match. But even before that, like, the Brock one was okay, aside from the fact that he got concussed, but ever since 2015, when he came back against Shane, and then the Roman Reigns match was a disaster, and then he had that short match with Cena, it's just been getting progressively worse and worse and worse and worse. And for me, when I saw him against Roman Reigns, and you were live in Orlando for that, I said, they have to just pull the plug on this right now. That match was awful. He looked like a confused, senile old man in that match. And I just remember Roman Reigns like bouncing off the ropes a couple times and like confusing The Undertaker before he got speared. It was tragic to watch. And ever since, it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And then we saw that catastrophe that happened in Saudi Arabia with Goldberg. And I don't know. I just feel like they've done unrepairable damage to his character by just keeping on bringing him back.
I hate saying that about a guy that is really the, you could argue too, is one of the biggest reasons that WCW went under. I mean, Bischoff had said, it's been documented that he felt if he got The Undertaker, WWE would have gone under. But Undertaker was so loyal to Vince that he didn't do it. And, you know, maybe that would have turned the tide and we'd be talking about WCW being, you know, the sole surviving company. And who knows? I mean, Undertaker had more of an impact than I think most people realize. But yeah, at this point, I mean, I'm ready for him to hang it up. I know that this is it's nothing new that fans have been saying. We've been all predicting his retirement for 15 years now. And it's just time. If he wants to get to an even 30, we're already this damn far. Why not? Why stop now? End it at Survivor Series, but make it an advertised retirement. Milk the last bit of money you can. If I'm a business, I'm going to. I wouldn't just surprise everyone with my final match. I would at least tell WWE, and I probably don't have to tell them, if they're smart enough to know, with the biggest star of all time, you would want to advertise it as such and give as much time in advance to the fans and notice that, hey, this is Undertaker's final match and it will be on X date and stick to it. Because that's how obviously you have people anticipating who's his final opponent. How's it going to go? When's it going to be? Like, all of that. So I don't think that that's too far-fetched. One more thing I want to ask you before we head out here, and we haven't touched on it, and it could just be a quick answer because I know we're against the clock, but Rob Gronkowski signing with WWE, your thoughts?
Predictable. I guess that's the one word I would use for it. Like, hey, whatever. I'm not going to be one of these people who just hate on him just because he didn't come in and be like a part-time guy. I think it was kind of the writing was on the wall since he came. I guess like it was WrestleMania 33 in Orlando where he showed up in the Battle Royal. You know, he's a charismatic guy, and ever since he retired from the NFL last year or the year before that or whenever it was, that people were really expecting him to make the transition to WWE. I think it'll be cool. He's going to be on SmackDown, which is cool, which makes sense because they're on Fox. I have no issues with it unless he becomes a world champion right out of the gate, but I really don't see that happening. But no, I'm okay with it. I think it'll be fun, and Gronk's a funny guy.
He's got a larger-than-life personality. He seems to fit right in. I know people are already crapping all over this, but you have to understand something, right? If you're WWE, I'm the business of WWE. I'm running this company. Why would I not want more eyeballs on my company? Rob Gronkowski is one of the most well-known tight ends in the history of professional sports. Why would I not want him in my company to create a splash? And I wouldn't want it to be a one-time splash. I wouldn't want it to be a Cain Velasquez disaster, which I really, really didn't like Cain Velasquez being involved, at least from honestly from an aesthetic standpoint, and the fact that him and Brock just made, I mean, no sense, you know, what, 8 years after the fact. But if Rob Gronkowski is going to be on my team, I'm all for it. And people in WWE probably are resentful of the position he's been basically handed because of, you know, oh, well, he was just, you know, handed this position. Well, guess what it's going to do? It's going to raise your paycheck because more people are watching this show. And it should make you more competitive to want to get to the level you want to be at than sit back and just, you know, and sit and stir in jealousy. But, I'm for it as long as it's something he takes seriously. I don't need kind of a wink and a nod and kind of somebody coming in thinking that he's a bit above what he's doing here and he's not going all in. That's what I'm looking for from Gronk. Go all in. Don't make this look like it's kind of a joke of what you're doing, and which was a little bit what I saw at WrestleMania 33, being there live for it. You know, I don't want him winning any championships for a year plus. I stay the hell away from gold. Just go get in maybe, you know, occasional personal feuds, do some stunts, do some skits. Just, I don't need him you put gold around his waist, you're going to immediately devalue the belt of whatever he's wearing, and you're going to piss a lot of people off. So, but again, the short answer is I'm all for it. Brings more eyeballs to the product, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as long as they book him right, which I'm sure they will, like, I don't think they're going to rush him into, like, a championship right away. It's kind of a win-win situation. Everyone knows Gronk. Most people love Gronk. And I think they're going to do a decent job with him. And I don't think that he himself is looking for an overbearing schedule.
No, I don't think so either. And I mean, we could say that they're not going to give him a championship, but look what they did with Cain Velasquez. He just comes in and immediately just, you know, WWE decides, oh, get him a championship match against Brock. Even though he wasn't going to win the belt, we all knew it. I mean, Come on, really? Cain Velasquez just kind of waltzes in here and immediately gets a championship opportunity in his very first match on television. That's the kind of crap I don't want to see with Gronk, unless you're going to get him, make him a heel. If you're going to make him a heel, kind of like MJF in AEW, I could see him doing something like that. But I don't know. I want just this to be all in. I don't need Gronk doing this kind of as a side gig. He needs to dedicate himself fully to this, or it will come across terribly on TV. So, all right, Anthony. Well, in what was a crazy, just insane week, in not just wrestling, but in everyone's personal lives that have been completely turned upside down, and how we view the world, and, you know, in our personal lives, obviously with our jobs that, as you mentioned, many people may not have to go to now or are telecommuting. Things have certainly changed, and I have no idea what the future holds. And particularly in professional wrestling, it's going to be very interesting to see what WWE does in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to see how they navigate these uncharted waters. But, you know, if anyone could make it through a time like this, it seems like WWE is always the last company standing and putting out content.
Yep, because as Triple H says, they're here to put smiles on people's faces. I mean, I know that it's here as a distraction. You don't need to tell me this is entertaining me. You don't need to tell me it's a smile. I mean, come on, this is not like Blue's Clues. Like, seriously, come on. I don't know. That's the only thing that anyway, I'm going to get on rant. I don't need to. So, Anthony, before you head out, let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
You can find me at ADamarco25 on Twitter, but I'm really not that active right now with no sports going on. So I would say only really tune in when all this crap bolo is over.
Yeah, and hopefully sooner than later. I really just, and I think I say that in unison as a human being, that we just want this all to be done and over with and get back to our normal lives. That it's amazing how fragile things are, and how, you know, we take the normal days for granted. When something like this pops up and just throws a wrench in every, you know, millions and millions of people's lives, it's just amazing how quickly things turn on a dime. So, Anthony, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day here. And actually, as I'm looking at the calendar, what would you have been? One, you would have been actually scheduled for the preview show on April 4th, for WrestleMania being April 5th. But assuming that's not going to be the case, we'll be talking, but I don't think it's going to be the day before WrestleMania. I'll tell you that. It'll be just the day before April 5th. I mean, so.
Yeah, we're going to have something to talk about. What that is, really not quite sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. It's probably going to be our speculation on what they're going to be doing in the coming weeks with no TV or no live events, and when we may see WrestleMania. That's probably what's going to happen. But obviously, day by day and hour by hour, the news changes. So, Anthony, thanks so much for popping on tonight, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, man. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.